welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
You have done a good job of sort of watching the SARS literature and really bringing us only interesting things. There's so much. We could do a podcast every day just keeping up with SARS. We're going to talk today specifically about a poem that you found. It was published in one of the JAMA publications. It looks at transmission. We know at this point that direct person-to-person respiratory transmission is the primary means of contagion for SARS-CoV-2, which I'm going to call just COVID in this podcast. Infection is thought to occur mainly through close contacts, usually within 6 feet, via respiratory droplets. When a person infected coughs or sneezes or talks loudly, they can infect another person. Infection also can occur if a person's hands are contaminated and they touch surfaces and then touch their eyes or their nose or their mouth. Although I don't think anybody is assuming that this is a major route of transmission. Interestingly, and this was a story that I recently did for National Public Radio, COVID has been detected in blood, no surprise there, but also in stool and urine and in semen. And the reason this is particularly interesting is that there are places, particularly here in California and on the East Coast, that are doing environmental monitoring of neighborhoods, of dormitories, of apartment buildings, to look for the early detection, not only of COVID in general, but of some of these new variants. The precise interval during which an individual is infected is sort of generally known, although we still have a lot more information we could know. We know that the risk diminishes after a peak, which is usually 3 to 5 days after infection. And after 7 to 10 days, the risk of transmission is very unlikely. So where do we stand in terms of how transmissible this is when you're actually living with someone who's infected? The article that I referred to before that was published in JAMA attempts to answer the question, what proportion of household and family contacts of individuals who have COVID actually become infected? Mark, what did this article tell us that we didn't already know?
Yeah, this was a meta-analysis. We've been doing a lot of these lately, but they're a great way to summarize a complex, rapidly changing literature. And so this was looking at secondary cases of COVID in households, and they found 44 studies of transmission within households and 10 studies of transmission within families where not all members of the family lived in the same household. So this meta-analysis includes studies from many different countries. Most commonly, 12 were from China, 5 were from the U.S. Overall, they did a good meta-analysis methodologically. The quality of the studies varied, though. Many were not high quality, so the secondary infection rates may be under or overestimated. Having said that, the overall secondary infection rate was about 1 in 6 in households and about the same in families. So about 1 in 6 household or family contacts become infected when there's an infected person in the family or household. The secondary infection varied a lot, though, and it's almost stereotypical, from a low of less than 1% in a South Korean study, where you can imagine that mask wearing even within households and proper isolation and distancing even within a household is probably more adherence to that, to a high of 45% in an Italian study. And that Italian study might have been done early in the pandemic. And of course, Italians love to hug and kiss and baci baci. And so, and I've lived in Italy and love it, and I love the culture. But it's not a social distancing culture by any stretch. So in the 5 U.S. studies combined, about a third of household contacts became infected. So we're pretty close to Italians in terms of our habits. The infection rate was much lower when the index case was asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic versus symptomatic, about 1% versus 18% overall. The household members at highest risk of secondary infection were spouses, 38% overall. Adults were more likely to transmit to children than the other way around. And the secondary infection rate was also higher for adults than for children, about 15 versus 8%. So the adults conclude, the authors conclude that household transmission is an important venue for infection, especially when social mobility is reduced by business and school closing. A previous study from China did report that household transmission can be reduced by about 75% by wearing masks and frequently washing hands in the household if that can be put into effect before the symptomatic infection is detected. So bottom line, on average worldwide, about 1 in 6 family or household contacts of a person with COVID will get infected. You know, glass half full, that's 5 out of 6 won't. So, and it looks like there are things you can do in terms of isolating the person if you're privileged enough to have, you know, a separate suite in your house or a mother-in-law cottage or someplace where somebody can isolate too. You know, that's obviously going to reduce the risk. The mean infection rate was higher in the U.S. than in many other countries, so we're probably not as good at doing that as folks in some other countries. If we can isolate, if we do detect an infection, it's not all is lost. It's not like you're guaranteed to infect all of your family members. There certainly are some families where 100% got infected, but there are things we can do.
Very interesting. I was surprised that the rate is as low as you're saying, 1 in 6. That's encouraging. If I was going to dig into the data, one of the things I'd be very interested in, you're sort of alluding to it a bit, is the link with socioeconomic status. And when you're talking about grandmother houses and things, one has to assume that the lower your socioeconomic status, the smaller your house, the more people are living in there. And my hypothesis is obviously that infection rates in those types of family units are probably higher than they are in upper socioeconomic households.
Yeah, that seems very likely to be true. And I think, remember the 1 in 6 was for all countries, all comers, all studies. In the U.S., 1 in 3. So we're a little worse than that. So, but that's something we can share with our patients so they can at least have some. And I think it gives people hope. It's like, oh, well, it's 2 out of 3. I won't get infected. Maybe if I do some things, I can reduce that to 1 in 6 or 1 in 10 if I'm really careful with that family member.
Excellent. Keep wearing your masks. We'll talk in a week. Thanks, Mark.
All right.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.